It's a couple of minutes after 8 o'clock. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Mornings with Ed show on simply a spectacular Laguna Beach morning. We're delighted to have you with us. Also delighted to have with us the president and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. With on the perfect day to talk about all things economy, we have Laureen Gilbert with us. Welcome, Laureen.
Good morning, Ed. How are you?
I'm fantastic today. Better that you're here now, as we have a lot of things to sift through, really. We'll be talking about the president's infrastructure plan here. I'd like you to break some of those things down for us, if you don't mind. And I also, though, I want to start off this morning by talking about this little-known hedge fund, Archegos Capital Management. They were able to borrow so much money that its implosion last week sent shockwaves across Wall Street. Tell us a little bit about them or about what happened.
Right. So this entity came out of what used to be Tiger Management, and when that blew up, this one started. So there is a history of, in fact, this entity was recreated, in a sense, after the person in charge there was pleaded guilty to insider trading on Chinese bank stocks back in 2012. So that Tiger was closed down, and then Archegos Capital Management was set up. And here they were taking large positions in certain stocks like Viacom, CBS, and Discovery. And those started receiving, we started seeing banks kind of shut things down, right, and call them on their margins. So Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs are two of the banks that reacted quickly, and therefore it kind of put the squeeze on some of the other banks, including Credit Suisse, Deutsche, and Nomura. So those three are the ones that we think are the ones that are going to have the most significant losses involved. And so, you know, and Credit Suisse has already indicated that it's going to have a meaningful and significant impact on their first quarter earnings reporting. And so what's happened as a result of all of this is that the credit default swaps have had a spike. The CDS market has had a spike, and that's going to impact the fixed income markets as well as the equity market. So I think that we're going to see some reverberations from this, you know, little entity, as it were, and the impact on the markets. I think there will be. The markets have been somewhat looking for a reason to maybe see a little bit of a correction in the markets, and there's always some kind of catalyst, and this may end up being that catalyst.
Okay. All right. Now, you just mentioned all of the banks that they're bankrolled by. So this is a little hedge fund bankrolled by all of these giants. How were they able to keep such a low profile for so long? And is that a regulatory loophole that needs to be shut down somehow?
Well, you know, I mean, they're still regulated in a sense. So, you know, they are regulated. But, you know, they had their money divided up between many different entities, and obviously they had a lot of money to back it up. So, you know, they certainly had a lot of money to back it up. But this is what happens when anybody, whether it's an individual or a larger entity like this, takes really large bets, right, on individual securities. And so, you know, for the investor, for our callers or for the people on listening to us, it's a reminder as well for even individuals, you know, not to take any huge bets on any one stock and not to be over-levered. And it's the over-leverage that gets people into trouble, whether it's the small individual investor or a large family office like this one.
Okay. And I think my final question is, are the giants, is this likely to happen again? Are they now wise to this, or is this likely to happen again somewhere down the road?
Well, I think the lesson there for these larger entities is, you know, the first ones there to call in those margins are the ones who are going to be just fine. You know, Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, they reacted quickly. And so I think that's the kind of thing that you're going to see happen more often is a quick reaction from the big banks.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for that. This morning, the president is planning to unveil his infrastructure plan, and that includes $2.25 trillion in direct spending with additional billions in stuff like clean energy, tax credits, physical infrastructure, housing infrastructure. How do you see the plan, and can you break it down a little more for us?
Sure. So, you know, we've been talking about infrastructure being a necessity for America, and we've known that for decades. And the problem in the past, Ed, has been twofold. One, how do you pay for an infrastructure package? And two, are you going to end up favoring certain industries over others, certain companies over others, and what's the impact going to be? So, you know, when you look at this $2 trillion proposal, there's only $621 billion that's really physical transportation infrastructure. And the rest is a lot of other stuff. Right. So, you know, and that's the problem here. You know, the problem here is it's being labeled as infrastructure, but it's not all infrastructure. And so that's where it's going to have a hard time getting the bipartisan support. And so, you know, there's already talks about getting this passed through reconciliation instead of through, you know, the normal bipartisan avenue of doing that. And I would, you know, say that if that happens, look, we're already at 100% of GDP in our debt. We're already 100%. That expectation is going up to 107% over the next 15 years. So we have a real problem with the debt load that we're carrying. And what all of this points to is that there's a shift in thinking. And the question is, you know, is this the economy that we want? How big do we want government to be? How much do we want government to be involved? Is government a better way to use our resources than the private sector?
Well, let me
ask, the private sector do a better job, or can the government do a better job?
Well, let me ask you this, because more than just new highways and broadbands and ports, like you talked about, we're looking at, you know, revive labor unions, equally share GDP growth, easier access to health care, equal pay for women and, you know, clean energy, and better child care for workers, which is all really part of that fabric of infrastructure, isn't it?
Well, once again, are those things best served by getting the government to pay for it? And then how are we going to pay for it? So let's talk about the tax increase.
Okay.
So we knew all along that in this bill, in this proposed legislation, that they said we're going to have a way to pay for it.
Right.
Well, the way that it's being proposed is to increase the corporate rate from 21% to 28%, which then becomes the issue of putting the United States back at the top of the heap of all countries around the world. And so the reason for lowering the corporate rate was to make us more competitive internationally.
Right. It's also
not only to help us in the United States.
It also taxes foreign money, foreign income from companies as well, though. Isn't that the case?
It does. So it undoes all of the international trade tax reform that happened in the Tax Jobs Act. It undoes all of that. So what happened in that Tax Jobs Act was to make us more competitive across the globe instead of making us the most expensive around the world. And this additional minimum of 15% proposal on the corporate tax around the globe also undoes the good that the last administration was doing to try and make us much more competitive and to repatriate money back into the United States. So all of that is to say that it is going to increase taxation, but the problem here is that it's supposed to be paying for itself over 15 years. And you and I know that there's no real legislation that's going to last 15 years, right? So because we live in a governmental system where the president changes every 4 years, in Congress we have elections every 2 years, and so we've got constantly changing. So to propose a bill that pays for itself over 15 years isn't really realistic.
I think I think the connected thought, though, is that once America starts liking something, once we start getting used to something, the Affordable Care Act, where more Americans are insured, and once we start liking something, it's hard to pull back from that. So I disagree with the theory of in 15 years, things change. I think that once, for instance, all of the other things, and again, I'm not talking about highways or the broadband or the ports, but all of those other things, where the fabric of the of America is being affected, I think that really once they start liking it, yeah. And I'm wondering, I'm curious. So you're saying no, the corporate tax rate should not increase at all?
So what I'm saying is what we're going to also see, and let's just talk about the impact on the markets, you know. So once, you know, we're looking at increased taxation, then we're looking at lower profitability for corporations. There's no way around it. Increased taxation to corporations means lower profitability. Lower profitability corporations means stock prices do not have the ability to grow further, because we're basing all of the growth in the stock market on profitability of corporations. So then we're constricting that profitability through increased taxation, which will also constrict profitability for investors in the market. Once the markets start pricing that in, if we start seeing that this proposal is going to pass, then we're going to see adjustments in the market based on expectations of profitability. So all of this has a domino effect. It has an effect on certainly our economy, on the profitability of corporations, on our international stance. When companies are looking for where they want to be, they certainly look at taxation as part of the overall equation. And so with this too, of this minimum tax proposal on corporations, no matter where their revenues are, then once again, that's going to impact profitability of corporations. So just recognize that from an investment standpoint.
I sure will. Okay. And we're now in here in Orange County, we're moving from the red tier into the orange tier. It's affecting businesses. We're opening up again. How is this specifically affecting you? Are you bringing more people back into work? What have you prepared for at WealthWise
Financial?
Well,
you know, for us, we've been considered essential workers, and so there's really no change for us. But I do think that, you know, this kind of reopening of the economy will be good, not only professionally for people, but personally, right? We've all had a personal toll on being in lockdown or being isolated, and we know that we are all built for community. And so I think it will be great for the local community, for our county, our states, and nationally too, to start getting people back together. And, you know, whether, you know, going back to work, getting kids back to school, all of these things to kind of get our social fabric back together again.
Right. We talked about, you and I, a couple of weeks back, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was the last movie that either of us saw. It's been a while, huh?
Right. I want to go back, Ed, just for a minute, back to the infrastructure package and talk a little bit more about what I was saying about targeting certain industries.
Please.
So if we look at some of the industries that will be positively impacted, and we were just talking last week about semiconductors. So there's money that would be helping domestic semiconductor manufacturing, and then also looking at, you know, the clean energy. And there's going to, I mean, if this were to pass, there would be a mandate on electricity being generated from low carbon sources. So certainly the clean energy areas would be positively impacted. And then money going for a national lab affiliated with HBCU to address climate issues. So, and then let's not forget, there's also $100 billion for broadband access. So helping, you know, broadband. So those are some of the industries that could be positively impacted, as well as affordable housing, because of course there's money for affordable housing there. So those are for investments to be, you know, thinking about what areas, and then not to forget, of course, the main part that we were talking about is infrastructure and a positive impact on any investments related to physical infrastructure.
So it'll strengthen the federal safety net, and will it make it, kind of a, I guess this might be the dumb guy question. Will it make us more competitive against China?
Well, that's what you're going to hear today from President Biden. We're going to hear him say that the reason that we need this is to be competitive with China. We're seeing that what they're doing in their spending, and that we need to do the same. And I think in that, I have to agree. We have to be competitive with China. And that's why I would say I would personally like to see more spent on just infrastructure, not some of these other areas that were put in this bill as well. But let's focus where we need it the most, which is on our physical infrastructure.
Okay. You know, as today being the last day of March and we celebrate Women's History Month, we celebrated with you at the very beginning of March and Women's History Month, and that you are doing amazing things, not only in your industry, but for your industry with other women.
Speaking of that, I do want to let you know, I don't know that just this week it was announced that I'm on the Forbes Top Women Female Advisor list.
Does it ever stop?
In the nation. I'm just so grateful. I am grateful to be on that list. That was just announced this week. And so that is a good way to end Women's History Month.
It is so well deserved, first of all, by the way. So congratulations there.
Thank you.
Well deserved. And since having spoken with you about it in early March and knowing the stuff you do, again, you're one of the women we look up to in Women's History Month. This is Lorraine Gilbert, President and CEO of Wealthwise Financial Services. How do we find you?
Wealthwisefinancial.com or 949-748-1177.
Lorraine, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you. Thank you, Ed.
Have a great day. 8:19 the time. It's the Mornings with Ed show. Money, money, money. Money, money, money.